Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. It's Cinco de Mayo. We are live right here at the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg, Indiana. Right alongside me, not quite yet, but on his way here, is Mr. R.J. Cunningham. R.J., are you with me today?
Hello? Hello? If I'm
can
not
you hear me,
R.J.?
Out,
I can hear you.
Happy Cinco de Mayo to you, Mr. R.J. We're going to talk some racing today. We're live right down here at the Quarter Mile Pub. Come on down here. They've got some great food specials, some great drink specials to celebrate the Cinco de Mayo. Just right off 56th Street in Brownsburg. Got a great show planned for you. We got Brad Wells with Colt Stampede. He's going to be calling in here in just a bit. We've got Don Kay going to call in. We're going to talk a little bit of racing with him, RJ. And RJ, I know you've got a guest scheduled as well in the second hour. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm hoping to hear from Mark Dinsmore from the Newcastle Motorsports Park up there east of Indianapolis where they run the carts. And if, for those that don't know, Mark is an ex-IndyCar driver and one of the champions with Dan Gurney in another series. So pretty good to have him on the show. Hope he can make it.
Okay. And one of the breaking news, and obviously we're going to talk about it just a little bit later on here with Don Kay when he calls in, is apparently Donald Trump is not going to be driving the pace car. That's the latest news that was broke by the Indianapolis Star today. Of course, the other networks are picking up on it as well. Now, real quickly here, RJ, what are your thoughts on Donald Trump and the pace car?
Well, you know, I heard conflicting reports, but the report that I heard that he was talking about the birth certificate with Obama, and the racing community didn't like the fact that he was talking negatively about the president. And you've heard something different, but in my opinion, he was also one of the people that usually when somebody's invited to drive the pace car, they do it immediately. And he hauled around about it in the first place to become a pace car driver. So as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of like getting free tickets. If you don't want your free tickets, you don't need to take them. But by all means, let somebody else take them. So that's
right.
Kind of my thought.
Yeah, we'd certainly like to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Again, we're coast-to-coast right here on Blog Talk Radio and as well as WXRB 1610 AM in Brownsburg, Indiana, and xrbradio.com. We got a great show. If you know a little bit more about what the controversy was surrounding Donald Trump and driving the pace car, we'd love to hear your thoughts, 917-889-8516. Like I said, we've got a great show planned for you today. And our $2 bill, Josh, is going to be calling in here about the 4:30 mark. We're going to talk some NBA hoops. We're going to be talking about the playoffs. We're going to be talking about the Indianapolis Indians. So it's a great day, Cinco de Mayo. Great weather. The weather has finally broke in our favor. The sun is out. It's starting to look like May. It is the month of May. Of course, racing is big right here in Indianapolis, the racing capital of the world. The centennial race is right around the corner. 100 years, RJ, 100 years of racing. You're about that old, aren't you, RJ?
No, but sometimes I feel like it when I go by and just realize how many races I've actually witnessed. I mean, I started going in 1969 and haven't missed a race yet, and it's really weird because I cover mainly short track racing, but I still have to go to the Speedway, and I'm going to let you guys do most of the Speedway work so I can be a fan like I always am. To me, I like to sit in turn three and turn one and watch the races. I wish they'd let us sit in turn one to watch practice, but they kind of keep us all, you know, cooped up like cattle, you know, so that part I don't care for. But other than that, everything is great. I mean, I love Indy coming. I can't wait.
Okay. Well, like I said, we're going to certainly dive into more racing talk in the second hour at about the 4:45 mark. We've got Don Kay calling in, and we're going to talk with him about the Centennial race. And so looking forward to that phone conversation as well. We're standing by waiting for Brad Wells to give us a call here with Stampede Blue. Most of you out there in the internet world know him as the Big Blue Shoe. And for years he was known on the internet as the Big Blue Shoe. And the guy behind the Stampede Colts blog, it's certainly one of the biggest blogs out there. So we're waiting on a call from him to get him on the line and on the show here. Obviously, we've got an open line. We'd love to hear from you. Cinco de Mayo, how are you celebrating Cinco de Mayo? If you don't have any plans, come on out here to the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg, Indiana. Very easy to find. I'll tell you, they've got some RJ and I had some before you left, and I guess you're coming back, but we had some chimichangas, some really good chimichangas. Yep. They got chimichangas, burritos, three hard or soft tacos. They've got some great drink specials going on as well. Chips and salsa, chips and queso. So come on out here, celebrate some south of the border, Cinco de Mayo. Should be a good crowd. Good day to come on out here. Good weather to come on out here to the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg, Indiana, and join the Balance team here on. One of the things that we've been talking about is the lockout with the NFL and you know, the impact that that has and the impact that that has on the not only the teams but the fans and certainly around about the 4:15 mark or so, we're going to have one of the biggest you've probably seen him and his partner around, all decked out in all the Colts gear and stuff. They're going to call in and, you know, talk about the impact that this lockout has had for them in what's going on with the lockout and so forth. Now, as a Colts fan, obviously I'm a big Colts fan. I mean, I think it's a big issue that now they've got to get this issue resolved. Now, RJ, I know you follow a little bit of football. What are your thoughts on this lockout?
Well, I personally think that it's really, for most teams, it will hurt their ticket sales dramatically. But I think the Colts are an exception because most of the Colts fans are already season ticket holders, and we, you know, thoroughly back the Colts, and we're always looking for a banner season. What it does hurt is the rookies. We can't, I mean, the running back situation, I'd love to see a new running back come on board, and I would love to see the offensive line firm up, and all that stuff is not going to happen quick enough. But the good thing is all the other teams are the same way. So, you know, that's one good thing. But, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's just depressing. It really is depressing. Even though it's the off season, matter of fact, you and I go by the Colts complex, I think, almost on a daily basis. And it's kind of weird. It looks like a ghost town there right now.
Right.
So, yeah, they're there all the time.
Right, and it's definitely had an impact on the players and on the fans and so forth. Like I said, the Federal Appeals Court has agreed Tuesday to kind of fast-track this along and try to put this labor dispute to an end. So hopefully that deal can finally get worked out. I mean, because ultimately, let's face it, the people that are getting hurt the most are the fans like yourself and, of course, all of our listeners out there. Again, we'd like to hear your thoughts on the lockout, on the upcoming Centennial race, your thoughts on Donald Trump. You can give us a call, 917. 917- 877-889-8516. Now, those of you that haven't heard, like we were just talking about a while ago, Donald Trump is not going to be driving the pace car. He apparently has decided to that it wasn't something that he was going to be able to do. And in my personal opinion, in this whole situation, I kind of think that Izod said, "Donald, you're fired." I mean, that's just kind of where it was.
You just wanted to say that. That's all it was. You just wanted to say that. Just admit it. I've always wanted to say that. I like, but you know, hey, I personally was a fan of Donald Trump's, and I kind of agree with his thoughts, to be quite honest with you. So now my show's going to fire me, and I'll have to go to timeout. But wait a minute, I think I'm going to go pick up that bike instead. No. It's just I don't know. Man, I need to take a break. That's a much better commercial there's a motorcycle out here. I'm eventually going to be back in there. Just bear with me. Are you going to still have me in timeout, or am I going to be able to be on the microphone?
I don't know. We'll try. We'll try to get you on here. Like I say, we're waiting for a call from Brad Wells to give us a call right here on the on the balance. Guys, we'll be right back, and when we get back, we're going to try to talk some more Colts lockout. I know right here at 4:30, $2 Bill Josh is going to call in, and we're going to talk a little bit about as well as the Indianapolis Indians. We'll be right back.
Welcome to another exciting adventure of The Balance. That's right, boys and girls. The Balance team is standing by to bring you, the sports fan, the inside look at the stories you care about. Tom, Brian Scott, and $2 Bill Josh are waiting right now to come to you live and bring you the stories that you care about. In our second hour, RJ, do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. All right, and welcome back to The Balance. We are live right here at the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg, Indiana. It is Cinco de Mayo. For those of you that aren't very up on your Spanish, Cinco meaning five, May the 5th, is actually a celebration. Now, you history buffs can probably help me out a little bit on this. Give me a call, 917-889-8516. Now, the way that I understand it, it was a celebration of the victory of the Battle of the Pueblos, something to that effect. Hey, I'm a sports guy. I don't have to know all about history, although I am a history buff. So anyway, that's the Mexican holiday that celebrates that. The way I look at it is, hey, there's come on out here to the Quarter Mile Pub, and you can see how the Americans celebrate Cinco de Mayo. It's a great day to get out. We get off work, come on down here to the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg. They've got some great food specials and some great drink specials, so come on down. We're sitting here. We're waiting on a call, like I said, and I think we've got him on the line now. Hi, is this Brad?
It's Brian.
Oh, this is Brian Jensen? Oh, I'm sorry. You're fine. Yeah. You're fine. That's okay. No problem, Brian. I'm glad that you could call in. And we were just actually bit about the Colts, the Colts lockout, and to give everybody a little bit of a background about you. I don't want to steal your thunder or anything, but you and your partner down there at the Indianapolis Colts games are the guys dressed in blue and the spirit of the Colts, if you will. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you guys get the Colts fans pumped up and ready for each game.
Well, I mean, I just actually started doing it last year. My first game was last year at the Chargers, and I started dressing up after that, and I ran into Michael, the superfan, whoever one knows as superfan. And we've just pretty much, I mean, the way I am, I mean, I just, you know, talk to a lot of people, and, you know, just, I mean, it's just... People see us and it just gets them in the mood of football, and you know, they see how crazy we are and how crazy, you know, we are about the game, and you know, it's going from there, you know.
Oh, absolutely, and I know you guys, myself and $2 Bill Josh, myself and $2 Bill Josh was. Down there at downtown, and we met you guys out at the draft party. And one of the things that you guys do, you guys go where the Colts go for the most part. Obviously, you don't travel with the team. But you guys are all decked out in costume. There's no missing you and your partner, Mike. And, you know, he's certainly welcome to call in the show anytime. But what I want to do is get some thoughts from you, the fan. Obviously, you guys represent the fans, and you guys are the ultimate fans. Tell us how this lockout situation affects the fans, and what are you guys thinking about?
I'm just hoping to God that there is football next year, because I put all this money and time into my suit, being the first year that I'm actually going to do this full year. And, I mean, Michael's been doing this for a while, but being that this is my first year doing this, I'm trying to, you know, go to every game and go to training camp and all that, and you know, get the full year in. If I started off with the lockout, I'm going to be kind of pretty upset. But I mean, I really don't think that it's going to come to that. I mean, there's too much money to be lost by the teams and by the owners. And even though they're saying that 27 out of the 31 owners are billionaires, not millionaires, I mean, It's still a loss of income for not only the team and, you know, the owners, but I mean, it's merchandising, you know, marketing, all these places that in these cities that depend on football to bring in revenue. I mean,
right.
a lot of companies that, you know, that I deal with my one business, you know, a lot of their business happens to be football and football merchandise. Well, you know, most of those companies, they deal on the, you know, everything else is just supplement income. You know, I mean, their main business is football. You don't have football, there's going to be a lot of money lost, and a lot of people are going to be discouraged by the lockout. And, you know, and the way I was in what was it, the 90s when baseball got locked out? Well, was it the 90s? I believe it was like early 90s. Mm-hmm. But when that happened and then baseball came back, I just wasn't interested in it for about 3 or 4 years. And then after 3 or 4 years, you don't know who's on what team.
Right.
You know, it's just,
right.
It's so confusing because everyone changes. And I just totally lost interest in football and baseball at the time. And I just hope that doesn't happen with this.
Well, I tell you, Brian, and you certainly voice that of what most fans out there are voicing. It's very frustrating to us as fans to sit back and watch, you know, the rich argue about more money. And really, I think what it comes down to is the players want full disclosure of what the owners are making. And, you know, I don't know that I necessarily agree with it. I do know that the 8th U.S. District Court of Appeals in St. Louis has set a June 3rd hearing with 30 minutes of oral arguments from each side. So we'll see what happens. As you obviously might remember, U.S. District Judge Susan Richard Nelson issued her injunction stopping the lockout on April the 25th and denied the NFL's appeal 2 days later.
I believe she's a football fan.
Yeah, I believe that she is. And I think we all are football fans, and I think this is just a very disheartening time. And like I said, we're waiting on Brad Wells with Stampede Blue to give us a call and talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on. And, of course, talk about his blogs on Stampede Blue. Now, Brian, you guys have a website or a Facebook page called Super Fans. Tell us a little bit about that and how they can find you on Facebook and how they can become a super fan.
Well, my Facebook page is Sparky-Colts Superfan, and my residence is actually Indianapolis on that. I just put it in Indianapolis just for, so it's easier for people to find me. And then Michael Hossens is just Colts. I believe it's Superfan Colts or Colts Superfan.
Right.
And
now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Go ahead. One of the things that a lot of people might know, our listeners might know, we are coast to coast. We are now live coast to coast all over the United States. So your voice is being heard all over the United States. So can fans just kind of set up their own super fans chapter with their teams across the United States? And I know that you teamed up with Mike and you said, hey, I want to be a part of this. And you actually live 5 hours away from Indianapolis. Is that correct?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
I'm in Dixon, Illinois. It takes about 4.5 to get there.
So you're actually more in Chicago Bear territory up there, aren't you?
I am in the heart of the Midwest.
Okay. So you're a little bit south of Chicago. So, okay. Well, you know, we really appreciate you joining us today, Brian, and talking to us a little bit about super fans. And obviously there's Colt fans all over the United States. And there again, like we want to say, it's not just for the Colts fans that super fans. You guys can develop your own chapter out there, and like I said, go ahead and give your website again or email address there, Brian, and so that people can contact you and maybe they want to model what you and Mike have been doing right here in Indianapolis.
My email address is indy colts4life@hotmail.com.
Right, and on the phone with us. Go ahead. On the phone with us now is $2 Bill Josh. I know you met him when I met you down there at the Colts draft party. Josh?
Hey, Tom. How are you doing today?
I'm good. We got Brian Jensen, a super Colts fan. We met him at downtown Indianapolis last week at the Colts draft party. Anything that you want to talk with him about, Josh?
Dude, you literally have got to be the coolest Colts fan in the world, but what do you think about the Colts taking two offensive linemen?
I think it's to protect our prize investment in Peyton Manning. I mean, you know, he's not getting any younger. I believe he, you know, has, you know, 5-6 years left, and I believe that they're going to be good years. He's not, you know, as you all know, I mean, he's not really one to complain about getting hurt or, you know, he's never really been hurt as far as I know ever in the NFL, and you know, they just want to protect that, you know, investment. They want to make sure that he's in there every game. And you know, I believe they're good picks. I mean, you know, and our offensive linemen also, I mean, they're not getting any younger either. So we need to protect the you know, key of the offense right there, and that's Peyton Manning.
I would agree, but
go ahead, Josh.
Do you think it's going to help us run the ball any more effectively, or do you think we need to sign a free agent running back? Because the last few years, Adai hasn't been getting it done.
You know, I don't understand it because it seemed like Adai in his rookie year was, you know, he seemed to run the ball up the middle, and now it just seems like he's running it sideways, and, you know, that's not going to get it done. And I think Brown is, you know, I think Brown should pretty much be in that number one spot where he should, you know, he should be the prime running back, and Joseph Adai pretty much take a back seat. But, you know, I don't really think that we're much of a running team. I think, as Peyton Manning is getting up there in the years, I think it's going to be more passing than running, I mean, no matter what. But I think we'll get more run plays as Peyton Manning gets older. But I really think that Brown's gonna end up being, you know, a good running back, and you know he's gonna be there for a while, and I think that's really all we need.
Right. We're talking with Brian Jensen. He's actually a the ultimate Colts fan. that him and his partner Mike, they dress up in all the cult attire. You guys can't miss him down at the tailgate party. Now, you guys, do you tailgate down there at any particular location, or you guys just kind of roam around?
Me personally, I like to interact with fans. I like roaming around, and actually, like I said, I just started doing this last year. I've been to only four games, but the response that I got from going actually to my second games has led me to do what I'm doing now. And I like interacting with the fans. I don't really like staying in one spot. I mean, I like getting in the stadium 2 hours early before the game and going up there and just walking around the front lobby and, talking to fans, getting pictures taken and, seeing kids and seeing the expressions on their faces. And, but
right.
I told Michael this year that I definitely want to tailgate, get out there, more than 2 hours early and, get in the parking lot and, interact with some of the fans out there too.
Right. Now, on the phone with us is Zach. Zach, and one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we did today is that we actually saluted our armed forces. Obviously, with the death of Osama bin Laden, we've kind of took a step back and looked at the new patriotism of America and bring back 9/11. We've got Zach, my son Zach, actually, who's in the United States Marine Corps out in North Carolina. He also is a huge Colts fan. Zach, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. How about y'all?
Good.
We're great. You're on the phone here with superfans.com representative Brian Jensen, of course, $2 bill Josh, my co-host. Zach, we kind of just want to get your thoughts about the morale booster that the recent activities happen in the war on terror, and obviously want to salute your part in it and obviously in what you've been able to accomplish in the Marine Corps. Tell us a little bit about the morale with the Marines and how did they react to the news of the death of Osama bin Laden?
Hey guys, check it out.
I can't say the name right there.
Yeah, check it out. First of all, I'd like to say, hey, salute to those men that, were in there kicking, doors down in those Navy SEALs. Hey, they're too raw to them, one for them. They've got my respect from here on out, I promise you that much. But the morale, the next morning, I was actually in bed when they released the news, when President Obama released the news of him actually being dead. And since I do live in a military town, my neighbors, they started texting me, hey, this is pretty epic. Hey, what's going on? Do you believe this? And, there was just some small chatter on Facebook and my cell phone and whatnot. But by the time I got into work that next morning, everybody knew about it. First thing were people saying, hey, Cool Mark would say, is this true? Is this true? Is it true? And when I told them, hey, that's what everyone's saying. I believe it. Run with it. Hey, it's true. He's dead. Hey, one for America. The whole morale, you could tell, just went skyrocket. Everyone was like they had a relief, Even though that the war is still going on, everybody had a relief. Hey, we took out the ringleader. Everybody else is going to be a piece of cake.
Right. And, again, we're talking with my son, Zach, who's with the Marines out at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. He's already had one deployment out in Afghanistan. He also is a huge Colts fan. Zach, tell us about how you think about drafting an offensive tackle to back up Peyton Manning. What do you think about the lockout? You got any questions for $2 bill Josh or Brian?
Well, honestly, I hate to say this. It looks really bad, but I have not been able to sit down and look at the reviews of the draft yet, and it's just kind of irritated me. My internet's been complete whack this whole week, and at work, I'm way too busy to sit down and nitpick the draft or whatnot. I am kind of happy the way that, the draft went. I would have changed a few things here and there, but it is what it is. And I think that I agree with the guy you had on there earlier about the whole fan. It's gonna come down to this season. If Peyton Manning starts off a season like he did this past season, we need to stick to running the ball. I think that we came way too close last season to giving up a lot of games that we probably shouldn't have given up. And there was just a lot of things that Peyton Manning, as a quarterback, could have done different last year. And I think that if he comes out with the mentality as he did last season, this season, I think that he should kind of step back and re-cope with his teammates and kind of find a new star player, and not so much of an air game, but more of a star player on the running side.
Right. Now, Brian, or $2 Bill Josh, you guys have any questions for Zach, a U.S. Marine and diehard Colts fan out of North Carolina?
Go ahead.
No, I'm not asking.
Okay. Brian, do you have any questions?
No, I mean, you know, just anybody that is serving for our country and all the stuff that we're going through right now, they have my total respect, and I salute them all. I think it's great.
I appreciate that.
Yes, Zach, thank you very much, and I'm sure Sunday was a very proud day for you, currently being in the Marines.
Yeah, my opinion on it is, hey, you know what, finally, you know what I mean? I can step back a little bit, too, and granted, I wasn't over there, you know, kicking doors in when it exactly happened, but I was over there along with a lot of my boys and sisters as well, been over there and did our part. It's about time. That's all really I can say about that. The whole morale is just awesome. I know that a lot of people are trying to say that he's not dead and he's going to come back, and this is just going to make more people upset than it is good. But I will say this, I'm excited about it. I believe it.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to have to call it a break right there. We're going to be right back. And when we get back, myself and $2 Bill Josh are going to be talking about the NBA playoffs and the Indianapolis Indians. We're live at the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg, Indiana on Cinco de Mayo. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Zach, for your service. We appreciate you joining us. This show is dedicated to the U.S. troops.
Number 9, D-Wade. Watch him sneak in from out of bounds on this play. Sneaking in from the stands, orders a hamburger, comes back in and throws that one down. Nice find by Chris Bosch as well. Keep your eye on the players that are out of bounds as well. Just a tip for the young players at home. Moving along to number 8, Memphis looking to go up 2-0 in their series in OKC. O.J. Mayo helping get it up to slamming Sammy Young on that play. Watch the defense. And when defense leads to offense, it's a wonderful thing. Sam Young bringing that one home at number 8. At number 7, D-Wade just dropping Ray Allen like he's Peter McNeely on this one. Outside, Wade gets the 3, and the Miami Heat bench celebrating on this one. Come on, you can't celebrate on Ray Allen. He's a legend, but hey, D-Wade, no respect there. At number 6, LeBron catches the lob and throws it home. Beautiful dish from his buddy, D-Wade, and those two combine it once again to lead the Heat to victory. At number 5, well, he's bending minds down in South Beach as well. Rajon Rondo with the fake behind the back, draws the foul, flings it in anyhow. Rondo led the season scoring with 20. At number 4, watch LeBron James hang in the air and just swat the big ticket. LeBron gives the big ticket a dose of life in the coach section with that block. At number 3, well, it's becoming the King James version of the top 10 at this point. LeBron getting biblical on the Celtics. Spin move, yeah, that works. And he throws it down, jumping off the right foot Yeah, that's a little unorthodox, but it works when you're LeBron. He can do simply anything. At number two, Darrell Arthur trying to land a spot on the top 10 All-Star team. He's been all over the place every night. Arthur, huge jam for the Grizzlies. But at number one, D-Wade giving it to KG again. The big ticket. Off the flight now. He's no longer in coach. He's back at baggage claim. Looking for a W, but a reminder to the fans, game three, game four, in Boston. That's right. But D-Wade, number one on the top 10.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg, Indiana. It is Cinco de Mayo, folks. This is The Balance. So glad that you could join us right here on Blog Talk Radio all across the United States, and as well on WXRB 1610 AM in Brownsburg, Indiana. Come on out. They've got some great food specials. I tell you what, I had the chimichanga a while ago. To die for, $2 bill, Josh. So come on out, guys. They've got burritos, tacos. They got all the Mexican here. Some great drink specials. It is Cinco de Mayo. We are at the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg, just right off 56th Street. Come on out here. Have a good time with us. Now, on the line with me is my co-host and partner in crime, Mr. $2 bill, Josh. Josh, what is going on with this NBA playoffs? Do you think that the Bulls have a chance to survive here? What's going on? What are the teams that are going to start emerging here in the next few days, Josh? Josh, are you with me? Hello, Josh. Hi, Josh, are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Sorry, we had a bit of technical difficulty. I'm not sure what that was about. I think you're going to continue to see the emergence of the Miami Heat. As they've admitted several times, LeBron and Wade may not like each other, but that's not the point. Put them together and they're a heck of a team. You're also going to continue to see the emergence of the Dallas Mavericks, who have put the Lakers in a serious hole. A hole I do not think the Lakers have the talent to climb out of. I think the Mavericks are too young and too talented. I really look for the NBA Finals to be come down to the Miami Heat and the Memphis Grizzlies, who have looked phenomenal this playoff season.
Okay. So who do you think is going to end up here? I mean, obviously, we've got Chicago and Atlanta going head-to-head, Miami and Boston, and then over in the West, the Lakers. Now, I like Oklahoma City a lot. You mentioned Memphis. Now, I like Oklahoma City, and I think they have a very good shot of going to the final game, if not winning at all. Actually, I would not be surprised if we don't see something brand new in 2011 in Oklahoma City and Atlanta going ahead in the NBA playoffs. Josh, what are your thoughts on that?
I could certainly see Oklahoma making it to the NBA Finals. Atlanta doesn't have the necessary talent. They might have managed to go into Chicago and win game one, but in a seven-game series, the most talented team is going to win 9 times out of 10. The only way Atlanta is going to beat Chicago, Mr. Derrick Rose, the best player on the planet, is going to have to be severely injured. Because an 85% Derrick Rose is still one of the top 5 players in the world. A healthy Derrick Rose, there's nobody even close.
Okay. Now, so you think Oklahoma City can be – now, right now, if you were to pick the final game of the championship, who would it be, Josh?
I'm going to go with Miami and Memphis. Oklahoma City certainly has the talent to get there. But Memphis is hot. They have Mike Conley coming alive. They have Zach Randolph coming alive. O.J. Mayo stepping up, finally being the leader he was supposed to have been since he was a senior in high school when he was proclaimed the next LeBron James, of which he will never be. But I just think Memphis has more talent than Oklahoma City does.
Okay. Well, we're certainly going to keep you posted right here on The Balance. And remember, if you guys want to post your comments on The Balance, just go to www.thebalanceonline.com or go to our Facebook page, just search The Balance. You can also follow us on Twitter, T-Balance. Now, Josh, I know that we've kind of with a lot been going on and everything, we've kind of really not been talking in the last couple weeks about the Indianapolis Indians. They just recently split a series with the Durham Bulls. They're not in town tonight. We're out here at the Quarter Mile Pub. What's going on with the Indians? Bring us up to speed with the tribe in Indianapolis.
The Indianapolis Indians continue to struggle a little bit. They're a really young team, like we talked about before. They're probably a year ahead. They probably should probably still be in Double-A. But they're in Triple-A. Rudy Owens is a great story. He continues to impress for the Indians. Wesley continues to look good. The Indians play hard. That's the one thing they do every night. They're not the most talented team in the world. But in minor league baseball, me and Mr. Brian Scott, who apparently isn't with us today, have talked about, the Indians can only do what the Pittsburgh Pirates, their parent club, will allow them to do. So to win in Triple-A, I don't know if you would agree, Tom, but I think it's overrated. I think it's hard to say that as a professional team you don't want to win. But I think they're doing the right thing. They're developing players rather than necessarily focusing just on winning.
Right. And they struggled a little bit this season. Like you said, they're a very young team. They're a developing team, and that's obviously why they're in the AAA, and they're developing their skills and honing in their skills. The Indians took their first lead since April 27th against Norfolk, thanks to Presley Solo's shot in the first inning of the game that put the Tribe ahead 1-0. The blast was Presley's fourth of the season, placing the Louisiana native in tie for the team lead with Dusty Brown. So you and I had a chance to talk with Presley, bright young kid, and he certainly is a leader of the team and certainly a person who can make it happen out there in the Tribe. Now, at Cinco de Mayo, we're right out here at the Quarter Mile Pub. Josh, you got anything planned for Cinco de Mayo?
No, I plan to have a nice, quiet, stay-at-home, relaxing evening. I'm not really planning to go out and celebrate too much.
Just you and the hounds, huh?
Just me and the dogs.
Just you and the dogs. All right. Hey, guys, stick around. We've got Don Kay hopefully calling in here on the show, and I know RJ's going to get on. We're going to talk a little bit of IRL racing. Obviously, Josh, I don't know if you know this or not, but Donald Trump is not going to be driving the pace car this year. Like I said a while ago, I think the official press release said that Donald Trump decided that he was not going to drive the pace car this year. But I kind of think that Izod went to Donald and said, Donald, you're fired. What are your thoughts on that, Josh?
That's a good possibility. Here's something else that the media failed to report. And I happen to know this because I'm a big presidential fan. Had Honey George allowed Donald Trump the opportunity to drive the pace car, by law, he's required to allow any other presidential candidate to drive the race car if they so choose to.
Right, right. I tell you what, I don't know how, you know, how enthused I am about, and not just Donald Trump, but just the whole pop culture area of people driving the pace car. I think that should be reserved. Hopefully they'll do it right now, especially with all of this stuff that, like we were talking about with Zach and the Osama bin Laden death and you know, just the re-spark of patriotism here in America. Hopefully they'll do it right and they'll get somebody from the military or they'll get, you know, something patriotic to go along with that. But it's the 100th year race. It's the centennial race. I mean, I really think that they didn't think this whole Donald Trump thing through in the beginning. Now, Josh, we've been kind of getting some different stories of what caused the big controversy with Donald Trump. Do you know exactly what it was?
I think a large part of it stemmed from his what people are tending to call a racist speech last week in Las Vegas. I never really understood it, but as far as who should drive the pace car, I don't know if Tom Carnegie has a son or a daughter, but if he has any children, one of them ought to drive the pace car in this year's 500.
You know, that's a very good point, and one that hasn't even been brought up. Guys, we'd like to hear your thoughts, 917-889-8516. We'd love to hear your thoughts on who you think should drive the pace car. I agree with you. It certainly should be a heritage to the track, and it would be a great to see a representation of Tom Carnegie out there in the pace car. Obviously, it's the centennial race, 100 years of racing right here in Indianapolis, the world's largest racetrack and the world's biggest race. And we're going to have R.J. Cunningham up here from Trackside Review, the magazine. Make sure you check his magazine out, www.tracksidereview.com, for all the racing news from short track to oval track to NASCAR and so forth. And have Don on the line with us now. Don, is this Don?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Don. How are you doing, sir?
Wonderfully well, sir.
Good. I'm so glad that you could join us here on The Balance. And we're live down here at the Quarter Mile Pub. We're just talking a little bit about, and I know R.J. Cunningham with Trackside Review, the magazine, is going to join us here very soon. Now, I won't say that you've been around the track as long as the track has been around, but it's the centennial race. You've been there for a long time. Tell us how huge of a race this is. This is the history behind the track and some of the things and the highlights that you remember in your career from being out there all the years that you've been out there, Don.
Well, ever since I got there, and certainly long before I got, Indianapolis was the race in the world. Nothing came close to it. People came, and when I first got there, my first race was in the early 60s. A guy would win the race, and at that time it was only guys, would win the race by a lap, sometimes two laps, and people couldn't wait to get back. They couldn't wait there. Now, if they win by a second, they say, well, it wasn't that close, which is how things have changed. However, everyone that I've ever talked to, and I did interviews with all the guys who have won and who have run there many years and asked the question, what did Indianapolis mean to you? And everyone, A.J. Foyt, Al Sr., Bobby, Al Jr., Johnny Rutherford have all said the same thing. Without Indianapolis, we'd have been just another race driver.
Right.
That's the Indianapolis Motor Speedway defines your career. It is the epitome. Just to make the race is an astounding feat. There's been a number of drivers who tried two or three times who were outstanding drivers, didn't make the show. So it's tough, and this year it's going to be worse.
Right, absolutely. And on the line with us now is R.J. Cunningham from Trackside Review. Hey, R.J., are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I wanted to ask Don a question. He's got his own show, obviously. Who's going to be on this coming week and in the future where we can go out? You're still having the show at McGilvery's, correct?
Yep, still there. Been there going on 18 years.
18 years.
Yep.
That's a
they
long
haven't caught
haul
up with
in today's
me yet.
World.
They haven't caught up with me yet.
So who do you have on your show?
I'm working on a couple of guests. One, the PR guy has said we're not sure he'll be in town, and I said, well, he's got an appointment and an appearance on Saturday, so I rather think he'll be there. I haven't heard back, but throughout the months, we'll have the names that you want to see and hear. With only 2 weeks for the race, it's obviously going to have only two programs during that time period. And as you probably know, the drivers don't come in and hang around for a week and have 2 weeks to do nothing.
Right.
They won't show up until, you know, they need to be. And it'll make it tough, but we'll have some good guests.
Yeah, I got to admit, I was there when you had the Silvestro. I don't even know how to pronounce the name. I'm sure you do. She was very entertaining. I found that the accent, the voice, and she's a heck of a race driver, too. I've been impressed with her. I'd like to see her again on your show. I was very impressed.
She'll be around. She'll be around. She'll be around. That's not a problem. There's the thing is, I'll tell you, the kid that's impressive, besides Simona Di Silvestro, a very impressive young lady, and now this year, as everyone knows, or if you don't know, actually, has a program in place whereby they get to test They have the new car instead of the used car she had or the old car she had last year. Everything's new. She has really shown what she can do. But I'll tell you, the driver that's impressed the heck out of me, and he's only driven three races now, is James Hinchcliffe. He signed,
yeah.
Signed to drive, but they missed the opening race in St. Petersburg. But he was at Birmingham and Long Beach and this week in Brazil. And he has finished, I think, all three races in the top ten. He has really shown what he can do. It's remarkable. Sebastian Saavedra had a pretty good race in Brazil. He's starting to catch on. I think he'll be a talent as well. And the drivers, to the man and woman, when I talked to them last at Long Beach, they said, you know, make this field this year is going to be very difficult. Because there's a lot of talent, super talent, and there's going to be 40-some cars, so bump day is going to be huge. If that, somebody say, well, bump day the last few years hasn't been good, wait till this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a
big I noticed that Buddy Rice has picked up a ride, and it's looking very, very competitive. And I heard on one of the racing shows that Herta is basically going to be the test team for the new car. When are they planning on bringing the new car out? I would like to see that tested.
July.
Now, are they going to test that at the Speedway, or are they going to test it elsewhere?
Yep.
Okay.
As far as I know, it'll start out at Speedway. That's the number one place that you want the car to perform, and you tune it to what you need for the other tracks. But there should be at the Speedway, and Dan Weldon will be the test driver, and he's no slouch, having won the 500 once, having won the championship, having finished the last 2 years in second at the Speedway. He knows how to hustle a car and get around, so I think he'll be an outstanding test driver.
Now, why do you think he's had trouble basically staying in a decent ride? It's blown my mind to see, you know, that kind of talent with ride problems. So I guess maybe it's just the economy, or do you know something that we don't know as normal fans?
No, I don't really. I've talked to him, and he said, I don't have to be fussy. I can wait for the ride that I want that makes sense, that I have a chance to win. So his concern is not so much does he have a ride for the full season. His concern is he wants to run a 500. There's a young man who knows the history, understands what it means to not only run at the Speedway, but to have won it and what it means and all that kind of thing. So he's a little particular about who he's going to drive for. Now, has he burned bridges behind him? Not to my knowledge particularly. You know, it's hard to say no to a guy who's won. But on the other hand, if he doesn't come up with some money to help himself along, which he may or may not have, and I don't know that he has, it makes it a little bit difficult. But I think, you know, if he shows well at the Speedway, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a couple extra rides at the events. And he's aiming, I think, really for 2012 with the new car, since he'll have a little jump on everybody else. So he'll have fine-tuned it. So I think...
Right.
You know, Dan's just not a guy that wants to make any sudden decisions. He wants to get the right ride. And, you know, drivers who tend to take the first thing that comes along end up saying, gee whiz, the car didn't run well. Jay Howard is a perfect example. He got went with Marty Roth, and they didn't give him a stellar car, and he didn't look good. And he got out, and they had a problem. Whether or not they solved the problem, I really don't know, and I don't care. I think he's a guy who perhaps got hurt a little bit by being in less than a competitive car. So you got to be careful what you do. If you have the talent, you want to be able to showcase it.
Right. Now, we're talking with Don Kay. Now, Don, you've been around for a good number of years. And one of the things we were talking a little bit about before you called in, and obviously it's just a story that's just gotten legs and just really blossomed into an unnecessary story that's kind of putting a shadow on the month of May. But that's the whole Donald Trump scenario. Obviously, if you haven't heard, he's decided that he's not going to drive the pace car. Now, do you think that he was pushed out from IZOD? Do you think they said, no, this has just got to be too much, there's too much negativity around this? Do you think that it was really Donald Trump's decision? And more than anything, why Donald Trump? For obviously, maybe you're not in the know with the answer to this, but why Donald Trump in the centennial race?
Well, I think the guy is well known. He's a celebrity of sorts. He's a character. He will gain publicity, which he did. But I think two things happened. One is I think that he was, you know, there's a little pressure, and I think there was a lot of political pressure. In fact, I just read somewhere he said that was probably the main thing, plus the fact that if, in fact, he is going to be a candidate for president, that creates a problem. Because now the other candidates can say, hey, we want equal time. Well, how many people can drive a pace car?
Right.
In front of the world's greatest race. Having said that, he has given more publicity or a lot of additional publicity in Indianapolis they might not have gotten, and this will continue it because it will be news that he's out, and now people say Indianapolis 500, huh? So if they weren't aware of it, they certainly will be when he's done.
That is
so,
correct.
You know, is it a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. I personally wouldn't mind have seen him. However, when he's talked about the possibility of running for president, I went, uh-oh, that could be trouble. So several suggestions have been made on this Facebook thing, and I don't know where it is or how to get it, but I've heard that now that the people are calling or writing in or going on Facebook saying, why not get one of the Navy SEALs? Did that happen? I don't know.
Right, well, and I think that would be an ideal. I don't know if it's a SEAL or just somebody from the military. Obviously, the recent news of Osama bin Laden. We had my son who's in the Marines on earlier, just talking about the morale. You can just kind of feel the buzz of patriotism. I think it would be great to have somebody of that sort of caliber that would drive the pace car. If nothing else, what would be great, and maybe you know this answer to this better than I do, but perhaps even just for ceremonial purposes, a son, a daughter, a niece, or something of Tom Carnegie. I think that would be great. But it's the centennial race. I think that it needs to be something that puts that together of 100 years here and what the Indianapolis Motor Speedway has stood for here in Indianapolis.
Well, why not try and get A.J. Foyt to drive?
Well,
I don't know, but I think he would be huge if they could get him to do it.
The pace car's got A.J. Foyt colors, doesn't it? That sounds pretty good to me as far as I'm concerned. So I always miss Coyote colors, man.
Well, I think they'll come up with something, and they've got a problem, but I think it'll be solved. And again, I don't think the publicity hurts, but I think the people who have not been out to the Speedway in the past years because they said, well, you know, the competition is that. Well, it's always been good. But I think this year is going to be huge. I really believe there's going to be a real battle, and bump day is going to be tremendous. There'll be a lot of activity, and there's going to be some teams that are going to be surprised that might not make the show. It was just announced today that Alex Lloyd finally has been re-signed by Dale Coyne to run all of the ovals, including the 500, for the Boy Scouts number 19 car. And he finished fourth last year, and he's done well, and I think he's a talented young driver that they need to get in to the field. He's not a rookie, of course, but I think this rookie class can be pretty good with Saavedra and Hinchcliffe. And somebody else is going to have to take that, not Buddy Rice. There's another, Jay Howard is going to have to take the rookie test, I think.
You know as well as I, after being there, you started the early 60s. I started the very late 60s as a 9-year-old with an uncle that bought me a ticket. And he definitely got me hooked on racing for the rest of my life. You cover the big stuff, and I cover the little stuff, and I think it works out really well. But you've got some sprint car drivers and so on that have been on your show too.
I just had Aaron Pierce on this week, and he's a character. Doing well. He's running wing cars now. He just won in Flint, Michigan last weekend. He's running stock cars, CRA stock cars. He was Rookie of the Year in 2009, I think, or 10. He's done well there, and of course he holds the fastest lap in the Silver Crown car. He ran the fastest race at Darlington, the fastest average speed for the race in Darlington. I think it was like 159-mile-an-hour average for however long the race was.
Yeah, he's one of the guys if he could get a ride, I think he'd do excellent, very, very well. But, you know, he's like everything else. He wants to qualify with talent and not bring money, but unfortunately those days are pretty much gone, I believe. It's really unfortunate, really. But anyway.
Well, he has the possibility he's going to be running. He's not running the midgets, I don't think, too much, but he's running the Silver Crown and the sprint cars and could make a stab at winning the driver championship, in which case he'd get a scholarship for, you know, for a year in Fire Sun Indy Lights. He tested an Indy Lights car.
Me and RT do.
He had old tires,
well, you can
he had
talk
an old engine, and he ran faster than the other cars with brand-new tires and brand-new engines. So he knows how to hustle a car around. Plus, he's had a lot of road experience when he worked for Bondurant down in Arizona. So he'd be ideal, but you know, can he do it?
Right. Well, we're talking with Don Kay. Don, now I know your show is live at McGilvery's in Indianapolis. How can someone catch your show? Do you have a website? Tell us more about your show and about who you are and how long you've been in racing. Just kind of give us a quick history of yourself. Obviously, you've been around for a long time. All the drivers knew you. All the drivers respect you. And it's certainly an honor to have you on our show. So just wanted to hear, give you a chance to toot your own horn, if you will.
Well, I've been following IndyCar and short tracks. I went to short tracks when Eleanor Vogler worked as a mechanic for her husband Donald many, many years ago. Rich Vogler took his rookie test in the IndyCar that I owned or was co-owner of. I've been around since the early 60s. I started a program in Chicago on television in 1972 because I wanted to figure out a way to go to race and have somebody else pay for it. Did television, then I went to radio, and I like radio much better. Now, of course, with the Internet, it's all over the world in an instant. We do audio, video, live, as you said, from McGilvery Speedway at 30th and High School. So if you come into town for the race, when the track shuts down, come on over to McGilvery's at 30th and High School and stop by. They got great food, great service, and the adult beverages are cold. You can watch the program. It airs every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and you go to autosportradio.com. www.autosportradio.com, and when it opens up, you go to Current Show tab, and you click on it, and when the guest page opens, it says, click here to watch live, you just click on it, and it'll pop up, and you can watch it. And then usually by Wednesday or Thursday, we got the archive up. In case you couldn't watch the program, you can watch the archive of it. And sign up on the homepage, and you can get on the email list, and we'll send it to you. When the guests come up, we'll send you an email, tell you who they are.
Great. Well, Don, I appreciate you joining us. We got to jump on a break here and take a timeout. When we get back, RJ Cunningham will be on with more of the racing, and we're going to talk more. Don, we certainly appreciate you joining us today. We're live at the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg.
Thank you. Enjoy it.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Hey race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com.
Someone. like a lot. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and they're dangerous.
Hello, race fans. Welcome to Trackside Review, radio style on the web, on Blog Talk Radio, on TheBalanceOnline.com, and on Brownsburg Station, XRBRadio.com, 1610 AM. We're once again at the Quarter Mile Pub here in Brownsburg, Indiana. The lull before the storm on Cinco de Mayo Day. Come on out and get you some Mexican grub. If you like the Mexican stuff, they got some good stuff out here for you today. And Tom is back manning the screen, pointing fingers at me, and I'm just Statman Steve, I guess, is either on the way or on the line. He's on the line. Okay, so we're going to talk to Steve. RJ wants to go pavement racing, and Steve wants to go. Man, are you out there on the line right now?
All right, am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Okay, yeah. You want to go to asphalt, and I want to go to dirt. What are we going to do about it?
Well, I think why can't we go to two races, maybe even three? I asked you, it's Mother's Day weekend, whether or not you could go, and you said you've been married 33 years, so you're able to go anywhere and do anything you want to do.
And I've been married 30 years, and I can 30. Go anywhere and do everything I want to do as long as Mama says it's okay.
I knew you'd have to put something in there like that. You had to put a clause in there.
Disclaimer.
Fine print. The fine print down at the bottom.
My wife may be listening. I better put that fine point in there. I plan on doing something this weekend. I'm not sure yet what. I know Brownstown's running. Bloomington's running. Gas City's running tomorrow night. Lincoln Park, Paragon running Saturday night. So I'm sure I'll find something to do this weekend.
Well, Steve, what I'd like to do is go to a dirt late model race one day and go to a sprint car race another. And then
so I think sprint cars are in Kokomo this weekend on Sunday night.
That's a Sunday night. We still got Friday and Saturday to cover. Although you get out of work a little bit later than I do, so maybe you can go. I'll bet I can get up to Gas City I can leave by 2 o'clock and be up there.
Yeah.
You can take
we'll
the Trackside Review helicopter up there, can't you?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I'll just take the personal jet.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, there is a guy that – have you been up there and you seen the guy that runs the ultralight that flies?
Running around the track? Yeah, I saw him in Bloomington, too.
No, really? They got one in Bloomington
out
too?
Yeah, they got one down there running around Bloomington.
Well – I just had my consultant here just adjust my microphone. I don't know why, but I guess I don't have a radio voice, and so I have to have the mic right next to me so people can hear me. But anyway, last week was a rain out at Winchester.
Right. You said you were going to try to make it.
Rescheduled that event.
Right. When did they reschedule that for?
You know, I read it, but I didn't read it. I mean, you know, I cut and paste everything to put on the website almost by the millisecond now. So all I can suggest is that everybody log on to TracksideReview.com and remember to look at all the different racetracks. And I had three racetracks up in Michigan that sent me their press releases this week, so they're going to be on the site too. And remember, race fans, I will go anywhere. I used to travel to a race on Friday, a race on Saturday, and a race every other Sunday, and I want to get back to doing that. Now, the difference is this time is that my daughter's driving my little hot rod, so I've got the minivan and I've got more room. Therefore, if a race fan wants to go to races, all they got to do is get a hold of me at TracksideReview.com, at TracksideReview, RJTrack@yahoo.com. If you want to go to a race, just let me know. If you'll pay for part of the gas, everything is the same, except the price of gas is a little more expensive, and that doesn't bother me if I've got some company to go. If you're a fan that's never been to Winchester, if you've never been to Salem, if you've never been to Brownstown, if you've never been to Bloomington, if you've never been to Lima, Ohio, if you've never been to Eldora, if you've never been to Vermilion County Speedway, Macon, Illinois, I don't care where you want to go, I'm willing to go.
There is a new series coming about up in Michigan and Canada for modifieds. I believe the first race is in 2 weeks. I need to check my paperwork on that, but that's supposed to be a big thing up there for the modifieds and running. It's four races in Michigan and four races in Canada, so we'll need to keep an eye on that one too.
Oh, so what do you want to do? Just take a camping trip up there? We're going to go hunting?
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll take a camp.
Grizzly bears up there?
Right.
$2 bill. Josh is online.
We'll take Trackside Review Camper up there.
I went up to upper. I was with a wing sprint car race following.
Go ahead.
Josh, $2 bill, Josh, are you on the line too? Hello, Josh. Speak.
Yeah, I'm here, RJ.
Josh, speaker, forever hold your peace.
I just got back on the line, so I missed the first part of this conversation. You all have to catch me up real quick.
We were just kind of counterpointing on whether we go to dirt or pavement this weekend and what racetrack to go to. So we're kind of in an argument, but we're not really in an argument. So what do you want to do?
Hey, $2 bill, Josh, let me ask you a question real quick. How'd your little girl do in that race last weekend down there in was it Peru they raced in?
It was in Brazil, but Danica Patrick's not doing too hot at the moment. I'm not sure quite what's going on, but
what happened to Sheree? What's that other little girl's
racing,
name you're following down
the
there?
Problem is.
Simona Di Silvestro.
Great. Yeah, I watched that race on Monday due to the rain out on Sunday, and the girls didn't do too good, but it was a good race. I was really surprised. The senior circuit really did them proud.
Hey, is anybody
there? Are you there, Josh?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm having a bit of technical difficulty at the moment.
Hey,
I got you guys,
we got a little break here. I want to mention that if you want to call into the show, you can call in at 917-889-9516 or 8516. That number will always stay the same, so save it in your phone. I got chewed out for that and had to serve a timeout earlier today. That's 917-889-8516.
One thing I'd like to say real quick, RJ, is we got the World Outlaws. Goodyear Racing Outlaws, Goodyear Race, something to do with Goodyear, at Eldora this weekend for both a Friday night show and a Saturday night show. I guess they're expecting big crowds for that, too.
Hey, great. We are expecting maybe a phone call from Mark Densmore out there at the Newcastle Motorsports Park also.
Right.
I don't know whether he's called in yet or not, but we're kind of waiting on his phone call and just see if he does call in. Once again, for the race fans that were born earlier or later in life, I witnessed Mark's horrific crash at the Indianapolis Speedway. I've got a piece of the wall from that crash. I'm amazed the man can even walk, let alone own another racetrack. And that Newcastle Motorsports Park has a lot of things going on. As a matter of fact, if I remember right, they had a special event during the month of May that may be coming up once again, I think, for that deal, if I'm not mistaken, if that's still going on, maybe he can talk about that, hoping that we hear from him. We were expecting him to call in at 5:15. Originally, he wanted to call in a little earlier, so he may have had an appointment. We don't have a confirmation on that call-in, but it would be nice to hear from Mark and his staff out there. Looks like we lost one of the callers.
The only thing that was I can remember that may have been worse than Dismore's wreck there was the Stan Fox wreck when him and Ed Cheever got together and the car severed completely in half, and he was flying down the track with his legs dragging on the track.
Yeah, I was sitting in turn two at that event.
Right. I was watching it inside the track.
Yeah, it's amazing some of the things that I've seen and Don Kay has seen. And, you know, pretty much the month of May has always been my month. And before I got really involved with motorsports and started driving a hauler and working on race cars and so on, during my vacation, I worked, but I just went through the motions. I was at the racetrack every 5 o'clock to watch happy hour. I was there every Saturday and Sunday. I'd call in sick on a Saturday and get away with one that way. I remember a couple of years I couldn't see pole day, so I just hoped for rain, and sure enough, a couple times it did happen.
Right.
And I can also attest that the Indianapolis Motor Speedway was part of saving my life. That's a long story. Someday I'll write about it, but coming home from a race one time, discovered I had an illness I didn't know I had. So I guess we're about 1 minute from break, Statman Steve. So let's just flip a coin. You find out where you want to go. I'll do this for you. You decide where you want to go this week. I'll take you to one race with me in my van, and then we can go work together. And then if you want to go somewhere else the next day, then we can do so, and then I will go a different place.
I've
won three races. I mean, it looks
You want to see some good racing, then you go down to Bloomington Speedway tomorrow night. We'll see some good sprint car racing.
Can you get out of work early enough to do that?
Yes, sir. I'm off on Fridays.
Oh, are you really?
I work Monday through Thursday. I work 4:10s.
Oh, really? That's pretty cool.
So Fridays are overtime. Yeah, we'll do Bloomington tomorrow night then.
Okay. I guess we're getting ready to go into a break here, guys, and break time.
Hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you like to give back to the drivers, if you like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
We are Mark.
You know, I mean, I love the challenge that Darlington brings, you know, running right up next to the wall and trying to stay out of the wall. A fast racetrack, and you know, it's not the same old Darlington that it used to be. I don't think I've won a race there on the new surface. So, you know, all the races I've won there are under the old on the old surface. And what I love so much about that is you know, it's a real driver's track. You know, you have to do tire management. You have to you know, be patient. You got to race the racetrack and not the competition.
It's probably my favorite track on the circuit. It's challenging, it's difficult, it's hard, it's weird. You run, it's one groove racetrack at 170 miles an hour, and you run right against the wall. You know, what more can you say? But you really have to be patient, race the track, and that's something I've always enjoyed. I really like the old track, but even the new track has all of its own new challenges.
You know, the thing about driving at Darlington, it's like driving down three alleys. You got the front stretch, you got the back stretch, and you've got... even though it's part of the corner, you have in between turns one and two, and it's just like a bent alley. It's very narrow. It's very hard to pass there. You have to work with the other drivers there. You can't. You have to be willing to use give and take there. And there's going to be times when you don't want to give spots up, but you have to. But if you're good to those guys the first half of the race, it always works in your favor at the end of the race.
Darlington is something that's been a huge part of this sport for a long time, and to win there would be good for our team. We've been close a couple times, so we just gotta do better. So it's a fun racetrack to race, very challenging. You know, you're not just racing the other cars, you're racing the racetrack itself, and so it's a very challenging place to win at.
Hey, race fans, we're back here with Trackside Review and TheBalanceOnline.com. Remember, you can listen to us at WXRBRadio.com as well. That's 1610 on the AM dial, and we are once again here at the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg on 56th Street. It's real easy to find. Just go through Brownsburg, ask anybody where the Quarter Mile Pub is, and they'll tell you where it is. There's a Casey Food Mart down the street as well. Statman Steve, for all the people that are not lucky enough to go to races live and have to watch it on TV, I suppose that Darlington would be a good race to watch. I know that I think Tony Stewart's been laying back long enough. I think he'll probably be one of the ultimate top dogs here at this particular event. What do you think?
Well, they put the lights in down there at Darlington, and ever since they put them lights in down there, it's totally changed the track. I'd like to see Tony do good because I like Tony. Tony's a good driver, but you know, there's several other drivers I'd like to see. Anybody, but either one of the Bushes. You know, I could care. You know, I hope to see anybody in victory lane but the Bush.
Well, you know, we know your opinion now, so I guess everybody knows that the Bush boy is not one of Statman Steve's statistics. That he wants to win the race, but I myself, I'm hoping to get to at least a dirt late model race and a sprint car race this weekend, and then I'm going to set my DVR with all the races that are going to happen this weekend, and
right.
I'll watch them either Sunday night or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. Don't tell me who wins because I don't really care.
Right.
I want to watch it.
That's
I eliminate
right.
all
That's
the commercials that way.
Them.
That's right. The DVR is one of the best inventions of all
yep.
time.
That way you can fast forward through all the doll commercials and just see 100% racing action.
Okay, it looks like, Steve, we've got Mark Dinsmore on the line. Mark, are you there?
Cool. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Yeah, I'm here.
Are you busy over there at Comet Kart Sales, or are you at Newcastle Motorsport Park right now?
No, fortunately we are busy at the kart shop. That's where I'm at now. We've sold some carts here recently, and we're putting them together. So it's a lot better than it was a year ago, or a heck of a lot better than it was 2 years ago.
Right. The economy's
right.
getting a lot better.
It really is.
Now, I've noticed that 4 days since we've got Bin Laden, that things have seems to have been more positive. Have you noticed that with people coming in the door? Do they seem like they're even more positive, you know, now that things are kind of – I don't want to say come to a conclusion over there, but at least it's we accomplished one goal. Do you feel that over there?
Honestly, I can't really say that. I mean, the sport of karting has benefited from a – well, I won't say benefited. That's not really the right word because in 2009, business wasn't very good at all. And then in 2010, last year, it picked up a little bit. And this year, I won't say it's back to like 07 levels or anything, but it's gotten quite a bit better. But – we've benefited the sport of karting in general because the economy was kind of down and racers still want to race and karting's a whole lot more affordable than big go-karts are, if you know what I mean.
Right. Now, I'll tell you the way you could get a lot of fans going out to your Newcastle Motorsports Park.
No, not at all.
Every time send us a note on Trackside Review of when any of the top dog drivers are out there playing. I mean, I'd be willing to drive 50 miles to watch them in a kart and watch them practice and just have fun. You wouldn't have to be able to do that, would you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always possible, but sometimes you don't know, you know, who and when either. I mean, we get all kinds of guys show up out there, believe it or not, and it's just random. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't like to come announce. They like, and they, you know as well as I do, they like to hone their skills. And if they've been out of the car for a while, they'll come there just to get some practice and get the mechanics of the behind-the-wheel atmosphere. I want you to talk a little bit about your racing career. I know you want to talk about the Newcastle Motorsports Park, and I do want to talk about a couple of events you've got coming up, I believe, in the month of May, or at least one event. But explain to me how the deal happened with Dan Gurney. I want to know how that deal happened with him.
Well,
program, and you know.
Well, I started running Atlantic cars in 1989. It was the first time I actually got introduced to an Atlantic car. I went and basically did an audition for a guy named Bill Fickling out in San Clemente, California. That he was actually one of the principals in Swift at that time, Swift Race Cars, and talked to him on the phone and struck a deal based on if I could go out and perform. And up to that point, I'd had a limited amount of experience in a rear-engine car, which was a Super V years before that, and, I mean, back in, like, 82 or so, and did a little bit of midget racing, but not really a lot. I mean, I did a little bit at IRP and Speedrome and Anderson. That was really about the extent of that. And started talking to Bill, and Bill basically said, come out here and let's go to Willow Springs and see, you know, how you take to this thing. And it went really well. and the next thing I know, I'm running the Atlantic Series in 89, and I think, and I'll be honest, I can't even remember, but I want to say I won like six or seven races, or maybe more like four races, I can't remember. Ended up getting Rookie of the Year, had a bunch of poles and stuff, and he wanted me to come back and run for him in 90, because at that time Toyota had some teething problems, and we actually should have won more than half of the races, but we had some DNFs because of some, just development issues. But went back in 90 and raced for him, and I think we won 8 out of the 10 races and had like 7-8 poles and just did really well and won the championship. And Dan Gurney, as a result of that, whoever won the championship in 90 was going to get to do a test at Sears Point, in Sonoma with the GTP car. And it was myself and Brian Till. Brian was the East champion, and I was the West champion in Atlantic at that time. And we did a test day on separate days. We weren't there together. And Brian did his test day, and then I did my test day. And I don't even know if it was in close proximity as far as days. I can't really remember. But anyway, drove the GTP car, and God, that thing was so awesome and fun and everything. And we got all done, and Dan basically said to me, he said, "Think you want to race this thing at Daytona?" And I'm telling you, dude, I about jumped up and down, literally. It was the most awesome car, and he was absolutely one of my heroes. And to get to be a team driver for Dan Gurney, All-American Racers and everything, was just absolutely incredible. So that was just that was one hell of a reward.
Yeah, no kidding. You went through the pains, and I know you still feel it even to this day, and I'm proud of you for coming back to racing after your injuries. And like I say, I believe you had a quick time of practice when you were a rookie when you had that wreck, as far as rookies, if not for the whole day that day, which was a blistering hot day, and that's a long time ago. And
yeah,
I never really
believe.
Feel
it's
old
20
until
years ago, actually. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's just like time just flies, and you'll talk to people, and you realize you're old when you mention a name, and they can't remember, or they don't know who that was. And I always tell people, with computers today, all you've got to do is Google a name, and you can see all kinds of things about your name and your history on there on the computer, and that's one good thing. But tell us a little bit about Newcastle Motorsports Park. What do you have coming up in the month of May that fans should be aware of? And once again, you can also send any PR to rjtrack@yahoo.com and put all of your schedules and points and whatever you want, and we will put it on the website. I'm not just a short track fan. I'm a race fan. And I want to stay away from the big stuff and let the other guys handle that. I want to do the little stuff. I'm going to do a little sound bite and talk a little bit about NASCAR and so on. I'm mainly for the guys that are starting racing, and you're one of the companies that they can go out and get their start. You can point them in the right direction because you've been there and you've seen some of the right and wrong moves. But what's going on at Newcastle Motorsports Park?
Well, I mean, honestly, there's so much going on. It's hard to really pinpoint any one thing. I mean, later in the year is really when some of the most awesome racing is going to take place. I mean, there's World Karting Association's got a national race there September 16th through the 18th, and I'm telling you, you come out there on Friday is just practice, Saturday is qualifying and racing, and Sunday is qualifying and racing, and I'm telling you, some of the racing is just incredible. There's other races. There's one called it's a WK Great Lakes Sprint Series. That'll have some incredible racing. There's Route 66, which is there September 10th and 11th, but it's kind of backloaded out there as far as some of the really, really competitive racing. Our club racing is incredible, but we typically have a couple hundred entries for our KRA races, our local club racing, and then like these WK races, they'll have as many as 700 entries.
Wow.
So it's incredible. Then we have our race for Riley Hospital out there in July, which is during the Brickyard Week, and that's always a neat deal just to raise all that money for Riley. And John Andretti comes out, and Tony Stewart comes out and signs autographs. And it's just – and we get racers that show up and sign autographs and donate memorabilia and so forth to raise money. So it's really a neat deal.
Yeah, that you've got a really, really nice facility, concession stand, the fan area. It's just a tremendous track. Now, at one time you were going to build another track or two out there. Has that ever come to pass, or we're just trying to get through everything else going on right now?
No, we did. You can go on the website, actually, and get an aerial view. Go to the photo gallery, and there's a quarter full. It's a full quarter-mile oval. It's an oddball shape, but we haven't really used that much. I mean, it's more or less tied into the original racetrack, so you can do more configurations, and you can make the circuit bigger. We can actually get all the way up to 1.6 miles out there now in actual racing layout. But we use it for the rental carts, so like we can do racing on the original course and then have the rental cart business continue, you know, simultaneously on the back side of the racetrack, and then a lot of times we incorporate the new portion into the original track just to change it up. So, you know, guys just get tired of doing the same course.
Well, I know that Statman Steve wants to ask you a question or two. I know he's just itching, but what is the website out there? Give the fans the website so they can log on to your track.
You can go to newcastleraceway.com.
Okay.
The name of the place is Newcastle Motorsports Park, but you can go to newcastleraceway.com and get to it.
Okay. All right, Steve, go ahead. You got a question to ask Mark?
Yeah, Mark, I just want to know three questions. Number one, how are you feeling over the years? So, because being the injury I had when I was in racing, I broke my leg. I still can predict the weather. And B, what kind of speeds are the professional drivers reaching out there at your track? And C, why don't you have a trackside review special out there and let all the trackside review fans come out and have a karting race?
Money talks, BS walks, Steve. What it's all about.
number one, I feel like I was a rodeo bull rider instead of a race driver. You know.
Right.
I definitely feel beat up every day.
I'm sure.
The second question, the shifter carts out there actually run right at 90 mile an hour, 90 plus, 91, 92, 93 mile an hour. The tag carts, which is probably the most popular form because it's a single speed and it's really a momentum deal, and it really is good training for being smooth and picking the throttle up early and things like that. And those carts run right at 80, 82 mile an hour, so plenty fast. You know, I mean, when you're talking about a cart that's an inch off the ground, believe me, it feels like 100-plus mile an hour.
Oh, honestly. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. Our rental carts go almost 50 mile an hour, which is plenty fast, believe me. Sometimes I see them like, what's that?
Can you let our fans know about what it costs to come out there and rent a cart and get some fun going out there?
Yeah, it's about $21 or $2 for the first 10 minutes, and it's a dollar a minute after that.
Well, that ain't bad.
So for an hour, you can break your hour up. You don't have to do it all at once, obviously, but it's about $65 for an hour, and the carts are plenty fast.
Right.
Now, Mark, I want to ask you a question. Let's say somebody wants to go kart racing, and they want to maybe run out there, and let's say they're not a junior. Well, let's just start from juniors, you know, the kid carts, as they call them. Give us a price range what somebody can get started in racing would be, just a rough guesstimate.
The thing is you got new, you got used. So, I mean, if you're talking, I'll just put it this way. If you're talking new, you're talking about $6,000, but then you can pretty much cut that in half or even a little better than that, a little less than half if you're talking used. And plenty of guys that have ability go out and win on used equipment. It's not like you have to have brand new stuff. I mean, brand new stuff's obviously desirable, but it's not necessary.
In some cases, I think it's already tested, tried, and true. And the thing is, there's a lot of people that move up to other divisions, and that's what makes the carts available. They might, you know, go from karting to, like you, Formula Atlantics, or just any number of things they could eventually go into.
And honestly, when you look at, say you buy the best of everything you can buy, and say you do spend $6,000, that's still pretty darn cheap when you look at other forms of racing.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, used sprint car chassis with no wheels and no motors, like 4,500. So,
right.
I mean, you know, it's the difference is astronomical. I really appreciate you calling in. I can't wait to get out there. Someday I've got to get in a shifter cart. I don't care. I've driven a shifter cart. I've driven your rental carts and other rental carts and been in some other carts. When you helped me with the sponsorship when I ran an indoor go-kart track in 2003, before I had to let the economy destroy my magazine for a while.
Yeah.
But you know, I really appreciated that, and I know what you did was a big help, and you did bring some racers in just by spreading the word for us. And but I learned a lot. I mean, I really did, from building the walls to how you guys put on a race and so on, and it was a severe learning curve. And I'll tell you what, to run a racetrack is just an awesome feat. I mean, I think you found that out since you got involved in that.
Yeah, it's a lot of
Tom
work.
Bigelow has told me running the race car is the easy part. It's everything else that you got to do that's hard.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
How many people do you employ between comic car sales and the racetrack? Just curious.
It bounces around a lot. I mean, honestly, but you know, I'd say it. You know, and I mean, we sometimes we have to do part-time help just because if we have a big event going, we got to have, you know, more hands on deck, so to speak. But I mean, you know, it probably peaks out around 25. You know, but I mean,
do you have anything to do with Stephen Johnson? He used to have that indoor karting track up there on 38th and Georgetown, I guess it was. Is Stephen Johansson involved with you, or have anything to do with you with your racing programs out there?
No, you know, I used to talk to him occasionally when I'd go over there when there was functions going on when I was in racing, but I haven't seen Stephen for a long time. So
me
I
either.
I
that's
know what
why
he's
I was just
doing.
Curious. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing, and I think that deal's all closed up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Shut down.
It's Chinese restaurant now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a Chinese restaurant. I've been up to Fast Times. I've been to your place. I haven't been there this year. I was there a couple times last year. But
yeah, we did get some new rental carts, although it doesn't take long for them not to look new, but they are
right.
Aren't new ones.
Yeah. Well, if you like guys that like me in the cart, I mean, I can understand that. Although I got to admit, I did not damage the cart in any way, shape, or form the time I was there.
So you're the guy that didn't tear one up.
Yeah,
you're
right.
You're the only one.
Well, you know, it's Mark, if you can stay on a minute, Tom tells me I got a commercial break here, so
okay.
I've got to hit that, and we'll be right back with Mark Dinsmore and Newcastle Motorsports Park, and we'll talk a little bit more racing. And
hey, race fans, Trackside Review, the magazine, is back. Bigger, better, and faster than ever before. If you're a short track fan, if you're an oval track fan, Trackside Review has something for you. If you'd like to give back to the drivers, if you'd like to be a part of racing, then Trackside Review is for you. Check out their new online edition, www.tracksidereview.com. www.tracksidereview.com. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom, the host of The Balance. So glad that you can on Blog Talk Radio and 1610 AM WXRB on Cinco de Mayo. Come on out here to the Quarter Mile Pub. I tell you what, they've got the best chimichangas that you guys can ever put your mouth on. Myself and RJ had one earlier prior to the show. They got chimichangas, they got burritos, they got tacos, they got Patron, they've got Cuervo, they've got margaritas, they've got it all. So come on down here to the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg, Indiana. I tell you what, we are right here with me as well is $2 Bill Josh, our other co-host, RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review, and also on the line with us is Mark Dismore. Mark, yeah, I'm so glad that you could join us today on the Balance and Trackside Review radio style. It's an honor to have you on our show. And so I know that you and RJ were talking about the Newcastle Motor Speedway and things that are going on there. So, RJ, go ahead and pick up where you left off. And $2 Bill Josh. Josh, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I got the technical difficulties worked out now.
Oh, okay. I appreciate you being able to call back in. The beauty of cell phones and Skype, but we've got everything working with us. And guys, if you got a question for Mark or myself or RJ or $2 Bill Josh, give us a call, 917-889-8516. So, RJ, go right ahead. You're back in the anchor chair there, buddy.
Well, Mark, I'm just curious. Do you have people that you might recommend? If I were to have a couple of three people that wanted to go get started in car racing out there. I mean, if I were to send a customer out to you, do you have a list of two or three people that can help, or is that pretty much just, you know, I'm just curious. There's a lot more people that want to race than don't want to race is what I'm getting at.
Right.
And yeah, I've always told people the only regret you have is if you don't race. Yeah, you'll spend some money, but a boat costs more money than a car in racing a car, especially at the local level.
Well,
but the problem is you get hooked. So.
Yeah, you do. But I'll tell you what, I know a lot of kids that are good kids today, and I think a lot of it's because they spend a lot of time with mom and dad and grandma and grandpa at the racetrack. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just
yep.
a positive influence, and at night maybe they're in the garage or whatever, or at the racetrack, and you know, being involved in the sport as opposed to having idle time on their hands and being places with people they shouldn't be with. And I'm just a big believer in that.
Yep. Especially in today's world, there's so many opportunities to do the wrong thing and doing the right thing. If, you know, you might not be gifted enough to play, you know, football or basketball or baseball or any of the stick and ball sports, but if you can use your foot and use your brain, you can do well in racing. And it's always fun to watch a racer, you know, learn the ropes and be taught the right way, and there's a lot of people out there that are willing to help. And, you know, we want the sport to grow. I want the fan base to grow, and we need more racers too. And although listening to your car counts, you don't have a problem with that either. So $2 Bill, I know you have a couple questions for Mark. I know you're on the line. Speak. Are you there?
Josh. Well, it seems like Josh is having cell phone problems, calling in or a Skype issue. Josh, are you with us?
Yeah, probably my phone's acting up today for some reason.
Throw it away. Do you have a question for Mark, quick?
No, can you just preview some of the upcoming events coming to Newcastle Speedway?
Yeah,
This
weekend we actually had a fundraiser for a gentleman that passed away from a heart attack that it happened at the track about a month ago, unfortunately. The guy was only 45 years old and passed away. His son raced, and we're doing a fundraiser for the family. But we've actually postponed the race until May 21st and 22nd because it looks like the weather's going to be bad on Saturday, and that's when the race was scheduled for. So we've got a race coming up. It's a doubleheader. We're racing Saturday and Sunday, May 21st and 2nd. We're closed Indy 500 weekend, except for rental carts. We're open, but not any racing, just because of the 500. There's a vintage cart event out there that's be out there the 17th and 18th of June, and you can see carts all the way from the beginning, which is 1957 or 8, and it's incredible, some of the old stuff. I don't know where these guys find this stuff, but and to see the difference in speed and the difference in technology is pretty cool. Although there are some carts from the mid-80s that actually, believe it or not, have probably 20 more horsepower than a shifter cart has that'll be out there, and those things are incredible. Yeah, they're dual engine carts. They're about 300 to 320 cc dual engines, and they are just rocket ships. But they don't do real good when they get to the corners, you know, because it's old stuff. But
right.
they are fast.
I would like to go to that. That sounds like a winning event.
It's
to.
A cool deal. But it's June 17th and 18th is the racing. It's a, like I say, it's a vintage karting event. I don't know if any of you guys remember who Mickey Rupp is, but he actually only ran one Indianapolis 500 and finished sixth place. And had it not been for, I think the guy's name is Jimmy Clark, or it might have been Mario. It was one or the other, but one of those guys got Rookie of the Year. And if it hadn't been for
for one of those two guys, Mickey would have definitely got Rookie of the Year. And in fact, if you go back and look, I think he was outrunning Mario in that race, and he had a throttle linkage problem, and it put Mickey back to sixth. But Mickey Rupp was Rupp Karts out of Mansfield, Ohio, and Mickey was one of the guys that participated last year out there. And he wore his open-face helmet and his goggles and his bandana, and the guy's like 75 years old. It was so cool to see that.
Yeah, that sounds like, you know, like I tell everybody, learn to set your DVR, learn to set the VCR, go to a race, any race, you know, whether it's a kart event, a dirt event, a pavement event, I don't care what it is, you cannot ever get the feeling of a race car and what it's like to be in the stands and talk to these drivers, good, young, old, and set your opinion on a future superstar. Believe me, Mark, you can attest to this. There's somebody, or maybe three or four or five of them, that race out there at your track that are superstars in the making. If the brakes are right, they're going to be right there. And there really is.
I mean, what you're saying is exactly right. There's some kids out there now that they're special. There's no question about it. I mean, when Tony Stewart was coming up, I mean, he raced with us, and I was, I guess, the oversteer of him, Nelson, his dad, and me, and Tony was special. And I'm telling you, there's kids out there right now that are special, and, you know, and I hope they stick with it, and I hope they realize their dreams and somebody scoops them up, because they're capable of being the next superstar.
Right. And like I say, one of my other philosophies is anybody that's involved in motorsports is a friend of mine. If they're helping a racer at any point in time, and Tony Stewart had the Dairy Queen down in Columbus sponsor him, and every single time I go to Columbus, I hit that Dairy Queen. I don't care who owns it now. As far as I'm concerned, they're going to be owed a debt of gratitude for anybody involved in the sport. And for the rest of their lives. I mean, they've got my business every single time I go to Columbus. And I'm pretty picky. My only problem is I don't know who sponsors all the racers, and that's what I've developed, is people that do get involved in the sport, try to give them another way to get some exposure. I don't need the regular phone book anymore. I just want to go where they sponsor racing. We have choices out there. And I think the choice would be to come out to Newcastle Motorsports Park, watch some racing. And if you need to get a kart, I think you need to go to Comet Kart Sales, one of many places you can go racing. Mark and his crew will be out there helping you. You guys have a complete motor program, and you do everything out there. At one time, Comet Kart Sales used to be the largest kart sales company in the country, if not the world. Am I correct, or is that untrue?
Yeah, I think that's probably if we're close anyway. I mean, we all work hard, and unfortunately work a lot, and yeah, I mean, we try hard. I don't know. Honestly, I've been asked that, who's the biggest, and I don't know that we're the biggest, but I know we're somewhere in there, you know. I mean, top five or so, I hope, anyway. I mean, we try hard.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you a question. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I had stepped away from the mic, if RJ had asked you or not, but what is going on in your racing career now? Are you wanting to do any more racing? Or are you just happy with the racetrack out there and the go-kart track? Are you wanting to get back into sprints or champ car, or not champ car, English Indy car or NASCAR or anything like that?
You know, it's kind of funny because, like I said, I'm 54. I'm an old fart. But it's like, you know, your brain.
I'm just a couple years behind you, Mark.
You know, I mean, your brain just keeps telling you you could do this again and again, and, you know, it's like Mark Martin not wanting to quit, you know. I mean,
right.
And, hell, I feel the same way. I feel like if I was in a Target car or a Penske car, I mean, I really, honest to God, and I may be kidding myself, I feel like I could go out there and be competitive. I mean, and maybe that's an illusion. I don't know. I mean, it's just
I don't know. Got it.
It's part of hanging on to your, you know, I guess, you know, denying mortality, I suppose, you know.
Yeah,
and
I think that's part of it. Right. Hey, I didn't realize you were the same age. No wonder I get along with you so well. Hey, I really, do you get out there and play yourself? I mean, you know, when you get a new card in or whatever and you want to, sure, you got to get out there sometime.
Not near enough. I'd love to. I don't do it very often. I just don't have time. Like I tell everybody, I got it down to about $10,000 a lap now is what I'm down to out there, you know. But it's just I want to, and I'm actually building myself a toy. I bought a a cart that has four-wheel brakes on it, and I'm putting two motors on it that are they're water-cooled, and each motor makes like 43 horsepower. So I'm building me an 86-horsepower dual-engine cart for out there. So,
man.
The thing's going to just be a rocket ship. Probably it'll be a lot of fun. But anyway, my goal is to have it on the track in May, but that ain't going to happen. It's probably more like July now. So I'm excited about getting this thing done and getting out there. The thing will just be a power to weight. It'll just be incredible.
Well, I know one thing. I'm going to head out there during the middle of the week. I'm going to take Tom out there. I don't think he understands. Tom is one of the stickball guys, you know, and he says he's a race fan, but I don't think he's ever been in a high-speed kart. And I want to get him out there and show him what it's really like. Once you've got that adrenaline rush, there's nothing like it, man. There's just nothing like it. And you know,
I'll tell you, some of the people that's never been out there really need to come out and just see a race. It's free to get in on race weekends. It doesn't cost anything to get in. And we have bleachers, and you can sit right behind the building. And the racing is unbelievable. I mean, usually our racing starts around 12:30 is when the racing starts.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, literally, I could come out there and watch some of that and then go to a dirt race or a pavement race somewhere else at night.
Yeah, Eldora's just down the road.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, they got the Outlaw Sprints. They got the Outlaws running at Eldora tonight.
Yeah.
Have you ever driven a sprint car, Mark?
No, I never have, believe it or not. It wasn't that I didn't want to. I just never, the opportunity never came up. And I had a midget with a Volkswagen in it, and that thing was
raced
like something.
You raced at Kitley, didn't you?
Yeah, I ran it at Kitley, and I ran it at IRP, but my timing is impeccable. As soon as I bought that, that's when all the Cosworths and all the Gerdys and all that started, you know.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember running that
ruined the whole thing. Yeah. There's some good old days, man. I miss a lot of the racing, and I know we've got progress and all that, but, you know, it's funny. I miss some of that other stuff. And
I hate to say this, but technology, in my opinion, has ruined a lot of big-time racing, honestly. It's just, you know, I liked it when people were dumber and didn't understand what was taking place on it. I just think it was better. It was better days back then at the Speedway when you had four or five different chassis and four or five different motors. And, you know, it was just different.
That was my next question for you, Mark. That was my next question for you, Mark. I didn't mean to interrupt you if I did.
No.
What do you think of the IRL? You raced in the old Champ Car Series, didn't you? What do you think of the IRL and what Tony George has built up? And now Tony's not in it anymore. Do you think it's going to survive?
I haven't got a clue. I mean, I love IndyCar racing. I love IndyCar racing. The NASCAR things, I like watching it, but in my mind, if racing is me against you and everybody else on the track against each other and the whole thing where they shove each other, I don't know.
Right.
Some guys love that, but I'm just not one of those guys. I mean, I think it should be every man for himself.
Right.
Personally.
So you like the new setup where they've gone to a bump day and a pole day in the same weekend, or did you like the old 2-week program where you had a lot more time on the track?
Well, I mean, I'm a traditionalist, always have been, you know. Nobody likes change, I suppose. But, I mean, I always liked the old program, but it's more, I think it's financial, you know. Guys can't afford to be there for so long and put the car on the track that many days and that many laps and just on and on.
Right.
I mean, hotel rooms, you know, you just start naming what it costs to do that. And I think they just had to consolidate all that and try to hurry it up, save, you know, budgets.
Right.
Right.
Especially with all them yellow shirts out there.
Yeah, it's just a different world today. Everything's different. I mean, it's just unfortunate. I mean, the good old days were the good old days, and this is now, you know.
Well,
I'm a firm believer
that if the IRL or any open wheel series ran as many races as NASCAR does, then we'd be the most popular series. That's the way I look at it. I mean, you run 40, I don't know what their series is, but, I mean, it's nonstop racing, and they don't get a break. There's a one-week break, and they're back 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and we just don't run that many open wheel races. Therefore, we're not getting the exposure. That's the bottom line.
But you know, even
hey,
NASCAR is hurting. I mean, Clint Bowyer got out of a car this year and got second place, and said this is really great for the team. And I mean, hell, he runs for Childress. He made the comment that, you know, we're still lacking a little funding for the entire year. And I mean, when a Childress guy, I about fell over when he said that. I was like, man, I can't
believe
he said that.
Right.
you know.
Yeah, well, I still believe that I've noticed just in the past week the positive attitude. If we can just keep anything major from happening, you know, and killing any more Americans, I think that life is going to change, and I think it'll change for the better and quickly. It's just my opinion. You know, I'm full of them, as everybody knows. But Mark,
so,
I look forward to come.
We got a lot of geniuses in Washington D.C. though that create a hell of a headwind for this country.
Oh, I'm telling you,
you don't
want to
get me started
too.
On that one. So
yeah, you got some one-liners to go. I really you know, we could do some political satire and all that, but hey, I don't know where we are as far as the show, because I'm outside talking on the phone and Tom's in there on the computer, and you know, we're just having a good time. But like I say, once again, if you haven't heard earlier, get on Google, look up Mark's name. I think you'll be impressed. And hey, just go out to Newcastle Motor Park, go out to Comet Sales, go get yourself a car, go do some racing. Don't worry, if you don't want to race after a while and you find out it's too much work, somebody will be there in line to buy it. You know, that's one good thing. They say the happiest time of a boat owner's life is when he buys the boat and when he sells the boat. But I guarantee you, when you sell a race car, you're never going to forget it. I don't think it's the same. I think you never, ever, ever truly want to get out of it. And you can attest to that. And, you know, like I say, I've been since 69 having the race, and there's been some very, very memorable moments. And when you came back racing after those injuries, that was really thrilling to me. And to see you do so well with Dan Gurney. And I hate to see Dan get away from racing, too. You know, that's, you know, but I don't know.
He's 80 years old now.
Yeah, so he's, you know, I guess we can dream, you know. My father-in-law used to tell me, I don't feel old, you know. I don't feel old at all, but my body tells me I'm old. So
yeah, same here.
I guess.
Well, RJ,
I can tell,
hey,
I can tell looking at my Social Security number. It starts with one, you know.
Well, RJ, Mark, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. We got 4 minutes left in the show, guys. So glad that you, Mark, that you could join us today. Now, real quick, Mark, I know this really isn't your expertise and what it is that you do, but what is your take on the whole Donald Trump thing out of the IMS?
Well, I don't know anything about it, honestly. What's going on?
Okay. Well, yeah, he was going to drive the track and drive the pace car, and I guess that there was a lot of controversy about some things that he said, and then the campaign, and today Izod said that Donald Trump will not drive the pace car for the 500. So I just wonder if they actually told.
I swear to you, I did not know that, honest to God.
Yeah, they actually told Donald Trump. I think they told him he was fired. I'm not totally sure about it. Well, guys, we got 3 minutes left in the show. Come on down here to the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg. Cinco de Mayo. They've got chimichangas on special, burritos, tacos, Cuervo, Patron, all the kind of drink specials that you want, all the adult beverages that you want. You do have to be 21 to get in here, but come on down here to the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg. Mark, I am so glad that you were able to join us. It was a great honor to have you on the show today. We've reached the two-minute warning. Make sure you guys check us out next week. RJ, I'm gonna give you the two-minute warning. Go right ahead, buddy.
Mark, hey, it's been a pleasure. It's been an honor. I will be out there at the track probably yet this coming week as soon as I get a break. So I'm bringing Tom. Hey, race fans, enjoy the races. Get out there. Enjoy any race, every race you can. Set the DVR, set the DCR. Let's just go racing, man. It's time to go racing. It's time to think positive. It's time to have some fun with your life, and racing is just one of many ways, but I consider it the only way as far as I'm concerned. So, Mark, I'll see you at the race track at Thomas Park Sales, and have a good week.
Thanks, guys. Later. I had a great time.
Yeah, me too. Bye.
Thank you.
We really enjoyed having you, Mark. Again,
pleasure.
Mark Gismore, you can check him out. Mark, real quickly, what's your website where people can check out where you're at?
Baby, boy, you gon' drive with us. say, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say, son of a b, didn't you?
That's all, folks.